First Peter chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 3. First Peter 1 and verse number 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and we just thank you for all that you have done in beginning us into a lively hope through your Son, Lord. And we just pray you would help us in our Christian lives, Lord, that we might learn and grow in you. And we just pray you bless us this morning, Lord, as we look into your word, that we would be helped by it, Lord, and that you would use it to just bless and empower us for the week ahead. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And when we first trust in Christ, we pass from death unto life, and we become new creatures in Christ. We're born again, we're born from above, and we start out as babes in Christ. But we realize that as believers that we're not to remain as babes. It says later on in the epistles of Peter that we're to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. That God wants us to grow from spiritual babes to spiritual adults. And we need to take God's word as if it was our sustenance, our daily bread. That is how we grow. That we recognize that for a child, if it's to grow, if any child is going to grow properly and kind of reach their full potential physically, they need to have an adequate diet, a proper diet. And so we can think of it in the spiritual terms too, that if we're to reach spiritual maturity, we need to have that full diet of God's Word, that we take it into our mind and our hearts. And the more we do that, the greater our potential spiritually for our growth and our maturity. But we recognize that for a child to grow and to develop properly, that something else more than just an adequate diet is necessary. That we don't just have a baby strapped in a high chair for 18 years and keep feeding them and feeding them and feeding them, and then let them out of the high chair at age 18 and say, okay, you're an adult, you're ready to function in the world. That we recognize that we feed them and they'll grow, but they're not going to develop as they should. That they would technically be adults, but physically they would not be properly prepared for the rigors of adult life. And we recognize that a child, in order to develop, not only needs a proper diet, needs food, they also need exercise. And it's through exercise that a child builds muscle, that a child gains strength, and it's also through exerting themselves and using those muscles that they learn the skills that they need. First to roll over, then to be able to sit up, then to crawl, then to stand up, and then to walk, and to run, and to jump, and to climb, and so many other various things that they're able to do as they get older. And it is the child that gets a proper diet of food and then gets a healthy amount of exercise that develops properly into physical maturity and is prepared to handle whatever challenges may come. Excuse me. So it is true as well of us as believers in the spiritual realm, this idea that God is our Heavenly Father, and He is all-loving. He wants what's best for us, and He is all-knowing. He knows what is best for us too, and He desires for us to have a steady diet of His Word, but He also wants us to be exercised in spiritual things. That anything in the spiritual realm because we were not children of God before, we were children of the devil. But everything in the spiritual realm is new to us. That as babes in Christ, we start out so helpless in a lot of ways, not knowing how to live the Christian life or anything like that. But He wants us to grow and develop. He wants us to learn to stand in Him. He wants us to learn to walk. And He wants us to learn to grow up into the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ that speaks of in Ephesians. That as believers, that we're not always so concerned with our growth and development, just as with a child, that you put a child at the table sometimes and you put a plate of food in front of them and you know, well, this is going to help them to grow and develop, but they're interested in everything else but their food. That I know probably any of you as parents, that you give them cereal and then you kind of hope, well, they actually get to eating it before it becomes so mushy that it's unpalatable. But it's the way that children are, and it's the way that we can be in spiritual things too. That or sometimes with a child that you say, well, okay, well, let's go out for a walk, and you get kind of part of the way and say, well, I'm too tired, carry me the rest of the way home, and kind of, can we just watch TV or something? And it's like, well, that could be something you could do, but that's not the best thing to do. That they need to learn to be able to have some stamina and to keep going. And so it is with us as believers, that we should study the Bible, that it should have a focus in our life, and we should not be easily distracted from it. We find that so often, that we can read the scriptures and try to study the scriptures, but so many things come into our life and we end up missing out or cutting short the time to spend with God in His Word that we would desire. But also when it comes to being exercised in spiritual things, that we seem often to lack the motivation, to lack the energy. But the thing is, because God is the good parent that He is, because He loves us and because He's wise, that He's wise and knows what's best for us, that by His wisdom, by His providence, He's going to put us in different situations in which we will be exercised in the different areas of our spiritual lives. That He is training us. He is preparing us for a life of usefulness, a life of fruitfulness, a life of productivity and blessedness, and a life of service, and a life as well of eternal accomplishment. That we may not understand or necessarily recognize His hand or direction or His reasons for putting us in different situations. Usually we're a lot happier just to kind of stay where we are, but He's always trying to challenge us. He tries to always lead us onward in our Christian life, not for our own temporal comforts, but for our eternal good and for His eternal glory. A couple of weeks ago, we began this series on kind of the idea of being exercised in godliness, and we spoke of the idea of being exercised in grace. That grace is the fundamental basis of our salvation and our entire Christian life, and so we are to grow in grace. The grace that we need to live the Christian life, the grace of service as we're enabled by the Holy Spirit as He gives different gifts to us, and then also in the showing of grace to those around us. As God has been merciful to us and given us what we don't deserve, that we extend that same grace to other people. That those are things God wants us to be exercised in. And we recognize as well that just as in our bodies, that there's various muscles which are in need of development, so there's various other aspects of our Christian life, of our spiritual life, that need to be developed as well to bring us to spiritual maturity. And in terms of our spiritual birth and our spiritual life, we recognize that grace is always coupled with something else, and it is coupled with faith. That we are saved by grace through faith. That we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and what He has by His grace has accomplished on the cross on our behalf, and then we are saved. As with grace, we recognize faith to be essential for our salvation. That there would be no way of salvation were it not for His grace, for what He did in sending His Son to die for us when we were yet sinners. But yet, all the greatness of God's grace, for it to be imparted to us, it requires us to have faith. that we believe in the name of the Son of God, and that believing we have life through His name. And so we recognize that faith is such a part of our salvation, but as well we realize that that's not where faith kind of begins and ends in our Christian life. That's just the very beginning. And in various places in the Scriptures we see that faith is to be such a part of our lives as believers. It speaks in various places in the Scriptures that the just shall live by faith. That is to be how we are to live and govern our lives. We see also 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 where it says of us as believers that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And as well that we find in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, it says that without faith it is impossible to please Him, that he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And as well in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so we see as believers that we are to live by faith, we are to walk by faith, we must have faith in order to be pleasing to God, and that if we're to overcome things and challenges and difficulties in this world, that we can overcome the world by faith. And so as believers, we recognize faith to be a guiding principle of our lives. But in this, we recognize as well that faith is not something that naturally comes to us. That we're not accustomed to walking by faith, we're accustomed to walking by sight. That based on what we see, based on the temporal things around us, that's how we make decisions so often. That it's a pattern of life that's not only hard to break, but it's easy to slip back into. That it comes so natural to just live based on what we see, but to see Him who is invisible, to walk by faith when the things around us may seem to point against what we're doing, that we learn to do that. And so this is something, it doesn't come naturally to us, but it's part of our Christian life. It's something that we need to grow into. It's something that we need to be exercised into so that we can develop and grow. And so for our faith to grow, it is necessary for us to get into the Word. It says in Romans 10 verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That we need to get in the Word, we need to know the truth from the only reliable source of truth, and that is the Bible. And then we are able to think and act based upon that truth as we take it by faith. That we can see that there's many ways that seem right unto a man, but then from the Scriptures that we can find that those ways are the ways of death, that we don't want to go in those ways. We want to do to walk according to the Scriptures, that we don't lean upon our own understanding anymore, but we trust in the Lord with all our heart, and we acknowledge Him in all our ways, that we seek to do that. We take the Word by faith, and we seek to live by that. But we understand that true faith, as we see in the Scriptures, that it's not something that lives just in the realm of the theoretical, in the realm of the hypothetical. It exists in the realm of the practical, that we don't kind of just sit at home and read the Bible and just try to work up faith. That's not how we gain faith. That the Word is the food that we need for our faith to grow, but to develop it properly, we need to be exercised in faith. And so faith is only strengthened when it is tried. It has to be put to its limits. It has to be stretched beyond what we think those limits are. And then in any given situation that we see, do we truly believe? Are we going to act on that belief? Or are we crippled by doubt? Is our faith weak and in need of strengthening? And so knowing this, God in His love and His wisdom, He essentially establishes a training regimen for us by which each of us as believers can be exercised and strengthened in our faith. And He's going to use different experiences, different situations throughout our days, throughout our lives, in which He is going to try our faith. And He has a goal in mind, as we see here in 1 Peter chapter 1, that though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That he wants to take the little faith we have, the weak faith that we have, and he wants to strengthen, he wants to build it up, he wants to make it stronger so that when he comes again, when he takes us home, that our faith would be honored by him. That we think in Hebrews chapter 11 of all these ones that we would refer to as heroes of the faith, that we look to them sometimes with such awe, but it's the thing is we want to understand that the Lord wants us to become heroes of the faith as well, to learn from their example, and that God was faithful to them and saw them through, and he was worthy of their faith, and that we learn to follow him as they did. We follow in their footsteps and keep the faith as they did. And so we recognize he has this goal in mind of increasing our faith, making it strong, and he is fully committed to the task. And so we want to recognize that everything that happens in our life is ordained of God to bring us toward that goal. But of course, that means for us that there might be some difficult things that we go through. Hardships, sufferings, times when it would seem that the bottom falls out of our lives, times when it seems God has abandoned us, that we pray and it seems that heaven is shut up to us. Things that will shake us to the core. But when we understand that's what's kind of coming up, that's what the Lord is going to use to strengthen our faith, we just say, wait a minute, wait, that's not what I want to have happen. I don't want to go through those things. Can you just kind of give me the faith now without having to go through those things? It's kind of, you think about nowadays there's been a lot in the news the past several years about doping scandals in baseball, where you have these different guys where they wanted to get an edge, and so they were given steroids or given human growth hormones so they could develop these muscles quickly, and then they'd be able to hit more home runs and other things, or be able to throw more pitches. And I think that's kind of what we would wish that God could do with us, that he could just kind of take us and just kind of inject us with faith, and that all of a sudden that we'd have a strong faith and that we wouldn't have to go through these difficult things. But the fact is that there's no shortcuts to growing in the faith, that our faith has to be tried, it has to be tested, it has to be proven. And in this we recognize as well that God, because he knows us better than anyone else does, because he loves us more than anyone else does, that when he's setting up this regimen of to try to help us in our faith through tests and trials, that he knows what our limitations are. That we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 that God is faithful, that he will not suffer us to be tempted above what we're able, but will with the temptation give a way of escape, that we may be able to bear it. That he knows where our limitations are. Sometimes we think our limitations are down here, and they're actually a lot further along, and so he tries to stretch us beyond what we think our limitations are, but he knows what our breaking point is. That he's not going to bring us further than what we can handle. It isn't like you would have a trainer of someone in a gym that they're just starting out, and they say, okay, well, I want you to start by bench pressing your weight, that the person's going to injure themselves trying to do that. And that's not what the Lord does, that he starts us off kind of just with little kind of one-pound little barbells, and then kind of works us up in our faith. That we, of course, kind of we're happy to just keep lifting the one-pound dumbbells, but he wants to continue to increase it. So that we would be strengthened, that we would grow. And that there's going to be times where things can seem to be overwhelming, but we need to remember that God has placed that test in our lives, and he is convinced that we can pass that test, that he knows what we can handle, and he says, I'm going to give this to them, that it's not going to be above what they're able, that they can succeed, that sometimes we look at a test and we have such dread with any kind of difficult thing that comes, if we know that we can recognize that it's coming, and we look at it, well, this is just another opportunity for me to fail. But rather, God wants to use it as an opportunity for us to shine. He wants us to have success and to build upon that, that we can see as we have faith in Him that things happen, that His Word is true, and that as we make steps that we can see the progression of things. But even as well that we know that any trial that we face, that we don't always pass the test, but even as we falter in the faith sometimes, He even wants to use that to help us, to show us, well, this is an area of weakness. This is something that you need to work on, that you thought you were strong in this area, but no, you need to turn to Me and seek My grace in this area. And He's going to focus on developing those areas. You can think in the gospel accounts that on several different occasions that Jesus had the disciples go through storms. That first that He sent them out, or He went out actually with them, that He was asleep in the back of the boat, and they went across the Sea of Galilee, and the storm came up, and they were all afraid, and they woke Him up and said, "Master, save us, we perish." And He rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm, but He said, "Why are ye so fearful, ye of little faith?" That we see that He was trying to help them to increase their faith, to trust Him. Their faith needed to grow, and really the test of the storm made that clearly evident to them, that they saw, okay, that He was in control. He could have stepped in at any time. I didn't need to worry, that He's with me, and so I don't need to be afraid. But then we see later on, a second time in Matthew 14, that He sent them out in the ship across the Galilee. He sent them out alone. So they were by themselves. And so this is kind of, you think of it, another step up, that now they're going to handle it without Him. And of course a storm came up. But what happened? That even though they were alone, that He came up and He walked to them on the water. And of course they got kind of scared, but then He explained, he said, "Don't be afraid, it's Me." And in that it was an opportunity that Peter said, "Well, Lord, if it's be You, bid Me come out on the water." And so Jesus was walking on the water, and so Peter was able to walk on the water as well for a time. But then he saw the wind and the waves, he got scared, and he started to sink. And he said, "Lord, save me." And right away Jesus picked him up and said, "Well, O ye of little faith, why didst thou doubt?" That, and again you see that the Lord's trying to teach him some, trying to develop in things. And certainly we see, for instance, with Peter, he didn't pass the test with flying colors, but he certainly would learn from the experience, and he did get to walk on water, even if it was for a few moments. That was something that was great to experience. And it's this idea that they needed to see where they were, where they needed to go, how they needed to develop in their faith, that it was a chance to see God's power on their behalf, that they are given an opportunity to do what they never would have thought possible. And it was as the Lord was testing them. And we see in James chapter 1 that it declares, "Brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations." And that verse just automatically goes against everything that we would think. That why would we be joyful when there's trials, when there's troubles, when there's difficulties? And we see the explanation, verse 3, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." That it's these trials and difficulties, they're part of God's plan to make us perfect, to make us complete, that in the end it's going to be worth it. And though going through the trial at the time will not be easy, that we'll see once we get through it, the blessedness of it, of what it produced within us. And we would say that we would, as we kind of have the benefit of hindsight, that if we had to do it all over again, that we would want to go through that trial again. And this time we'd want to pass it. We'd know what to look out for and be ready to do that. And so knowing the need for our faith to grow and knowing the means by which God will use to exercise us in the faith so that we will grow, It is up to us to steel ourselves for what is to come, to have an attitude. Because so many things are going to happen in our life, and it's the attitude that we have towards them, the spirit that we have in facing things, that makes such a difference. That we look at them and we say, well, why did this happen? Why is God doing this to me? Doesn't He love me? Is He forgotten about me? When actually, when we see from the scriptures and from with the eyes of faith, we see, well, no, He hasn't abandoned me. Actually, He's right there with me. He's actually directed this trial to come into my life, but He's right there with me to go through it with me. So, and He's cheering me on. He's ready to help when I need help. That this is something that's going to be a good thing in my life. And so I want to learn to submit to graciously to it, to humble myself under His hand and trust that this is going to do a work in me, and I want to pass the test, whatever that test might be. And so as believers, that we want to recognize that there are going to be storms that come in our life. There's going to be fires that look like they're going to consume us. And they're not just kind of going to happen, kind of, we'll have one and then we'll have a nice long break and then we'll have another one. That they're usually not spaced out. Usually they all tend to be jumbled together sometimes. And we don't exactly know what's happening, but we need to learn that God's going to use this to exercise us in faith, to help us to grow. Perhaps it might be something where you might lose your job or not be able to find employment, not be able to find, get to a point of real financial straits, that you pray for work, prayers go unanswered. And the thoughts come, oh Lord, why have you abandoned me? What's going to happen when I run out of money? But the thing is that we learn that God's with us, that He's going to see us through, He's going to take care of us. I know several different times earlier on in with Malia and I, kind of the early years of being married, that I was working for different companies doing carpentry work, and you'd be working steady, but then all of a sudden they'd run out of work and you'd be laid off. And then you'd think, well, okay, well, they say, oh, couple weeks and you'll be back, and it turns up being a couple months. And I always remember myself different times that you start to get these questions, these thoughts, Lord, what's happening? We're going to run out of money soon. What's going to happen? And always I got back to work in a certain amount of time and everything was fine. We never did without. We never got to a point where it was super desperate, that the Lord provided throughout. And it was kind of learning this, the Lord was taking care of it, and if I just, I need to learn from this, because it would happen kind of every other year, and if I didn't have the right attitude, I'd just be miserable the whole time. Whereas instead, if I realize, well, this is just a time, and have a good attitude so I can be a blessing to my family, I'm not going to be miserable to them because of it, that we learn that it can be a strengthening of our faith. That we trust that the Lord's going to see us through, and we want to learn from that. That sometimes it might be that we will be working on something, and He gives us something to do, and we'll do it, but we don't see any fruit. That it seems like our efforts are completely wasted, that we try hard on something, and it just kind of one of those things where it just seems an exercise in futility, that we build it up, we just don't get finished, and then we have to do it all over again. That we want to give up, that we're tempted to do so, but in that we recognize the Lord's trying to help us. He's trying to develop a persistence in us, a faithfulness, that He says that, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if we faint not. That if we stay faithful, that the reaping that we'll get will be much greater than we imagine. That sometimes we may not reap until we get on the other side of glory. We think of different ones in Hebrews chapter 11 that they were tortured and they didn't get deliverance in this life. Even Abraham, you think of, he had all these things promised of a seed that would be more in number than the stars in heaven and all these other things, and he never saw any of it. But he was persuaded that it would come. And one day he will see it in a resurrected body, all the fulfillment of what was to come. And so we want to learn from that, that things aren't always going to happen right away, but we need to be faithful and trust that God's not going to forget our work and labor of love, that he keeps track and he's going to bring things to pass. That sometimes it might happen that a great injustice happens to us, that someone slanders our name, or that we're falsely accused, or that something is done against us that is totally unfair, totally unjust. And we have to bear it for a long time. And we question, well, how could God allow that to happen? How could he abandon me to this? But we think of different people in the scriptures of how with Joseph, that he was thrown in jail for something that he wasn't guilty of, that he had done right and he was made to suffer for it. But yet we realize that it was part of God's plan to bring him in a position where he would be brought before Pharaoh, and then through him that much people would be saved alive. That God has a plan for it, and that even Paul, that he recognized when he was imprisoned for the faith, that he said, these things are falling out to me for the furtherance of the gospel, that it was for a good thing. And so we want to have the right attitude in it, that we don't know why God's doing it, but God has a reason, that perhaps there might be someone in the prison that he might want us to be a testimony to, or who knows what it might be. Sometimes God might call us to step out in faith, like Abraham, to go out not knowing where we're going, that he just gives us a direction and he says, I want you to try this, and we don't see that there to be any resources in front of us, to be any means, that it seems everything would say, don't do that, except the Lord that's saying, step forward. And it's not an easy thing to do. We want to have something that we can grip hold of, some kind of security that we can cling to, but the Lord sometimes wants us, like Abraham, to leave behind everything that we had and step forward, trusting only in his word. And when we do it, it will be so worth it. It won't be easy, but we think, as with Abraham, that it was worth doing, that leaving behind the life that he had and following the Lord was so much more worth it than staying in what he had done before. And we think as well of sometimes of difficulties and tragedies that we might face. We think of Job and all the trials that he faced, that just how hard that would be. But we recognize, as we read the whole story and we see what happens behind the scenes in heaven and kind of the reason for all of it, that it was to test his faith, and to try him and to help him to grow in another area of his life. And in the end, that he passed the test and he was blessed double from what he enjoyed before. That it was an opportunity for Job to shine. That is why God brought him up to the devil's attention, because he said, have you considered my servant Job? Because he knew Job was going to pass the test. Job was going to, he wasn't going to curse God to his face, though he was going to be tried, that he was going to come forth as gold. And so with all these things that we recognize, trials and tribulations are going to come. They're not going to be easy, but they're for our good. They're given to us by a God that loves us, by a God that wants what's best for us. He wants us to grow in the faith. He wants us to be exercised in our faith, so that we will be strong in him, so that we will be prepared to be used of him and to bring glory to him and be a blessing to others. And so may the Lord help us, that we would see this, we would recognize what he wants to do in our life, and that even though we may be in heaviness through manifold temptations, as it speaks of in 1 Peter chapter 1, that we realize that the trial of our faith is much more precious than of the gold that perisheth, and though it be tried with fire, that one day it will be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and we just pray, Lord, you would help us to be exercised in the faith, Lord, to recognize the trials as coming from your hand and being for our good. And we just pray you would help us, Lord, strengthen our faith through these difficulties. Lord, help us to rely upon you even when things look dark, that you might be glorified through us, Lord. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn to one more hymn, number 257. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Hymn number 257. Let's stand as we sing number 257.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I love him more and more. Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Amen.